No, then it was a psychological mechanism she was trying to use. Doing perk tazayin alechocha. So it was a psychological mechanism she was trying to use. A type of unconscious mechanism. And the hinei natsaran Hashem miletus is referring to hashgacha klolius. Means the laws of nature have prevented me from having a child. Yeah. It's an emotional thing that a person only recognizes God if God divinely interferes. But then if it's the laws of nature, he's not thankful to God. Well, who made those laws of nature? Who put you in a situation and you can enjoy it? So you have to be, we have to praise God for that too. That's the best right.
The illustration,
yeah. That's the pasuk. Hinei natsaran Hashem miletus means the universal laws. Okay. Was just caused by a person's unconscious psyche, was responsible for her not being able to conceive. So she thought of an etzer. That's the way this formula lies. She learns, it's a schus, special schus. So it means that that there was some reason she was lacking some schus. So she says, with a schus, that I'll bring my my maidservant into the house and treat her like an equal. So then that schus I will conceive. What was the schus that she was looking for? I mean, she said, according to Rashi, there was some defect that she lacked something. That's why she couldn't have a child, right? So, what good would bringing Hagar in the house do? How would that rectify the situation here? The thing is that she thought that maybe the reason why she didn't have any children is because she didn't have an accurate perspective of what it means, of what Avram was, and what the bris to Avram meant. Do you know what I mean? In other words, she didn't really appreciate what the concept of Avram having children is. See, that's not a personal thing. But Avram having children is something which is intended for the tikkun olam. It's tended for the world. It's bris of us, but it has nothing to do with the personal. So she felt that maybe she wasn't on the level of appreciating that idea, because to her, having a child was a personal thing. So therefore, what she did was she took somebody else, which was Hagar, and she gave her to Avram, right? So that through doing that, she would remove her attachment, a personal attachment. See, a personal attachment. Like this, the fact that she gave Hagar to Avram so that Avram can have a child from Hagar, you see, that showed that she's not concerned with herself, with who the child is from. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but she only did it so she could have a child.
No, one second. So then she said, in other words, there's two things in the pasuk. First of all, she gave Hagar to Avram because she wanted that Avram should be able to have children from Hagar, because of the bris. Number one. And then she said also, Ulai bona mimena. That Ulai bona mimena means that maybe because of this, I will also be Zecher. But actually, what? In other words, maybe by taking her wish to be the one that produces Klal Yisrael and giving it to somebody else, you see, maybe through that she also will be able to have a part in it. You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean that she'll be the only one. It doesn't mean she'll be the only one. But actually, she thought that maybe from Hagar there will be Klal Yisrael can come.
Both.
Shiftekah was from both. From Leah and Rachel. Shiftekah. It wasn't just one. It was from Leah and Rachel. So therefore she said, by the fact that she's giving Hagar to Avram, so that he should be able to be maimed children from Hagar. So through the schus of recognizing the importance of the establishment of Zer Avram, so maybe she also will be able to partake of it later. You see? Do you know what I mean? The thing is that she can't be the only one. That's for sure. She can't be the only one. But maybe she could share it. You see?
Now.
You see, Avram really believed that that was the case. Because... All right. Perek Yitzayin, Pasuk Tesvav. Vayomer Kemo Avram, Sor Yishchol Esikra Shema Sorek Yisara Shema. Uverachti Yisav Agam Nasat Emena Lecho Bein, Uverachti Yavahoysa Lagoyim Malchei Amim Mena Yiyu. Vayipol Avram Aponav Yitzchok. Vayomer Belibol, Avem Meyashani Yivalei, Vimsor Avas Tishim Shana Teileid. So what did he think? He had already the bracha that the Zera Avram are going to be a great nation, right? And Sarah, he never thought we would conceive at that point. So what did he think? He thought that was going to be from Yishmael. That's what he thought. Vayama Avram alulikim, lu Yishmael yechid lefanecha. You see? So he thought it was going to be Yishmael. Vayama alulikim, avol Sarah ishtecha yeledes lecha bein, v'karas Hashemah Yitzchak. Vakimaisis brisi itai livrisa la mazari acharov. Uliyishmal shmaticha. In evrachtes evrisa besa mit my mind. Shneimas anasim yel and asatil gaigadal. But ves brisi akimes yitzchak. Ashetel lecha sora la maira zeba shana acheres. So what was the communication that God gave to Avram? That it won't be from Yishmael. But it'll be from Sora. You see? But until that point they thought that it was going to be from Yishmael. So really, that was her intention. When she gave Hagar to Avram, the intention was to give up her sole claim to the Zer Avram and to allow Hagar to have the Zer Avram. And then she said, maybe also I'll be able to share. But really, what she did was, she actually gave up the Zer Avram. Of rights to Zer Avram. She hoped that by doing that she might be able to partake of being the one, being the progenitor of Zer Avram, together with the partnership, just like Leah and Rachel. I will call Kavanas Lasas with Son Sora, Shetibana Mimena, Sheyia Lo Nachas Ruach, Bivnei Shifchasa. That's a rational, like the Chazal. But according to the Ramban, the plain pshat in the pasuk is also good, which meant that she would have an achas ruach, she'd have some involvement with the children of Hagar, which meant that really she gave up and she said, "Is it? It's impossible for her to have kids.
Like,
but at least there should be Zer Avram through Hagar, and she will be instrumental in bringing about the raising of the child of Hagar." You see? That means that she totally gave up altogether. So you have three possibilities in the pasuk. Either was psychological mechanism, that's a svarno, or else Rashi learns that she recognized that she had a certain imperfection with regard to establishing the Zer Avram, and that was that she felt a certain exclusive right to it. She had a certain claim, so she forfeited her claim. And through that, she said perhaps she will be able to partake in the establishing of the Zer Avram. Or according to the Ramban's pshat, which is the most plain pshat in the pasuk, what it meant was that she gave up. She says, "I really can't establish Zer Avram, but that shouldn't prevent Hagar from doing it. And I can have a play a role in it, have a hand in it through the raising of the Hagar's child." And Hagar will be the one that's the mother of Klal Yisrael. That's what she thought. Russian, it's mashma. Russia is beschus she'achnes saras l'sech besi. It's possible the way we said pshat. Also, it means possible pshat. Regardless, pshat makes sense. But Rashi's Russian she'achnes sarasi l'sech besi.
What is
sarasi? I mean, Russian she'achnes saras l'sech besi is more mashma, that has something to do with her relationship to Hagar directly. You You see? Not directly. I mean, the pshat we said is a possible pshat anyways. But the Lashon Rashi, maybe it could be Rashi, or it could be that's Rashi, but the Lashon, the implication is a little bit, can't really force Lashonis too much either. Sometimes, I mean, it's not always a 100% accurate method. But I would say there is an implication here, that Shachlis Rashi has to do with the relationship to Hagar.
Yeah.
In other words, that through that the egoist the claim she gave, she forfeited already. Now she says maybe I'll be able to partake of the mitzvah. So that was a really altruistic motivation. All right, okay. Lashon Rashi says exactly that has to do with Hagar. Then there's only one possible explanation. What's the explanation? Says at the end of the Myron of Ochan that the mark of the perfected man is chesed. That's what he says. He says that is the sign of total perfection. Kindness, the Rambam says, that a person who is most perfected is the most kind individual. He says only an imperfect person is unkind. That's what the Rambam says. And he says the purpose of all the mitzvahs and the whole Torah and everything is to produce a certain type of individual who is involved in chesed. See? So it's not an accidental thing, according to the Rambam, that Avram was the Amar HaChesed. It was a natural result of his perfection. Of course, the chesed that's done on that level is a different type, a different level of chesed than we experience. A person could be kind, it's just be a response, a reaction. That's not the level that the Rambam is talking about. It's a higher level, different kind of chesed. But the result is that the person is a tremendous Baal Chesed, very kind individual. Because the Rambam calls the Gemara, Mahu Afata. The Gemara says, just like we should try to emulate God. Just like God is a Baal Chesed, because you see, there are millions and billions of creatures that depend upon him, and he makes sure that they can exist. So you too, in a particular way, should be a Baal Chesed. God is Baal Chesed in a universal way, you should be a Baal Chesed in a particular way. So, if that's the case, so what she said was, B'schus she'achnes sarasa l'sach basic, meant that she felt that she lacks in perfection. And therefore, insofar as her Chesed is concerned, she was not perfected. So that's why she brought Hagar into our house. So in order that she should perfect herself in terms of chesed. See? Of course, the chesed is a result. But the fact was that she brought her in order to be a constantly aware that she has to reach the level of perfection where it doesn't bother her at all. On the contrary, that she feels naturally very happy that Hagar's in the house. See, that's what that's possibly the pshat in Rashi. Chesed comes from Avas Hashem, and certainly, and you require the main requirement for building Klal Yisrael was Avas Hashem, and that was Avram. That was Avram. Avram is really the one that the Rambam always uses to demonstrate Avas Hashem to the highest degree. Avram Avinu. Okay. The implication is that she was explaining to him that the plan of the Ashgacha must be different than we had thought. You see? And he's listening. He thought that's right. But Kol Sarei Menko, she was really telling him that the plan of this plan of having Klal Yisrael, of having children, is not like we thought. We thought it's from us. Apparently it's not. So then that's the case, and then it has to be from Hagar. So Vayishma Avram Kol Sarei means he listened to her idea and he thought that she must be right. Until later, God told him no. That's Kibi Yitzchak Yikar Lo Chazor. But until that time, he thought that Sarah was right. That was a logical deduction. Ruach Hakodesh Shabbat. So what's wrong with that? That's very good what we're saying with Kol Sarei. Doesn't mean the Rambam explains Ruach Hakodesh does not mean that it's true. It's not a magical type of thing. Ruach HaKodesh means, the Rambam says, when a person does something only because of pure motivation. That's Ruach HaKodesh. So the Kol Sarei means that he listened to her because her explanation was based upon a distinct relationship to reality without any personal motivation. listened to her, because he sensed that this is, you know, that this is what she's saying, and it really makes sense.
It's rational.
It was wrong, but that's the way. Our conclusion was based upon our relationship to ultimate reality, relationship to God, and it wasn't based on anything else. That's Ruach Kodesh. This is Ruach Kodesh.
Okay.
I said that either Reb Chaim or his uncle said that if you want to see a proof of Ruach HaKodesh, it's the Rambam. The Rambam's writings. It could not have come about through any other way than Ruach HaKodesh. See? What does he mean? What he meant is, the Rambam says in the Mori, he says that when a person acts under the inspiration of Ruach HaKodesh, which means that he doesn't have any personal motivation, he's just doing it because of his relationship to God, you see? So the Rambam says that God assists him. So what he meant was that the Rambam, it would be humanly impossible for an individual to ever cover so much material with such thoroughness, like you have in the Yadah Chazaka and in the Mar Nevuchim and in his other Sfarim, if it wasn't for the Ruach HaKodesh, because it was on a level where he was deserving of the special assistance of God. See, it's interesting, the Rambam writes in the third Chelek of the Mara that he says that the Ezer Oliki helped me. See? The Rambam wrote is right. Doesn't mean the Rambam didn't make a mistake in the Halacha. The assistance so far as he was able to complete his objective. That's what it is. It doesn't mean that whatever he wrote is true. Tikach Sorai Eishes of Ram as Hagar Mitzvah Shevchas. What do you mean she took her? Yeah, I mean, it says that she gave her permission to go, and she went. That's all. What's with Tikach Sorai? Yeah, well, should I go take her and bring her by the collar and bring her over there? Lekasa b'dvarim. She could learn two ways. Either it means that she didn't want, she was reluctant. Maybe she was reluctant because she didn't want to be in a situation where she's sharing with somebody else. Or it could be that it just wants to show you the how anxious Sarai was. That she approached her and convinced her. Not only wasn't she envious, but she actually went wholeheartedly and told her that it's a wonderful thing is happening to her. See?
What?
Envious of somebody else. So according to Rashi, of course, the whole thing is chesed over here, to remove our own personal envy. So if a person is envious of somebody else, it could be that they'll tolerate when something good happens to the other person. But they give me yeshakayach, that they won't be able to do. That's a little more difficult. Why? Because in order to go over and give somebody yeshakayach, it means you have to partake of the simcha that they're experiencing. See? That's only possible if you identify with them. But how can you identify with somebody else in something which goes against you? See? That's a great difficulty. So the only way a person can do that is if he removes the personal. You see? And that's what Rashi means. That was the level that she was on. That she went over Lakasa Bedvarim. It shows you the level she was on, that she was able to not only tolerate that Hagar went with Avram, but that she was happy. Ashrecha. She went over. Gave Yashikayach. Wonderful. She was overjoyed. That already is that's a different level. That's a different level. Ashrecha is a chis l'davei with guf kadosh. What's the concept of guf kadosh? So you have a halacha like that, really. It's a halacha. The Gemara says the Rambam brings down the halacha with regard to halacha also. It's halacha that chayiv adam, a person should marry a bas talmid chacham. See, get a ram over there. Get around. Let's say lihidovek bechachomim v'talmideim kedei lomoy b'maaseim k'inyan shenemar uvo sidbok. So Gemara asks, "V'chi efshe lo adam lidovek b'shchina elakacham racham firsh mitzvah zu? Hidovek b'chachamim v'talmideim lefikach tzarach adam leshtadel sheyisa bas talmud chacham, v'yasi bito l'talmud chacham, v'lecha v'lishtoisim talmud chachamim, v'lasais parkem matya l'talmud chacham, v'leschaber lohen v'chol minei chibur sh'nemar u'ledov kavoy, v'chein tzi v'chachamim v'amru v'evi misavik ba'afar agleim v'sheysa batzamas devrayim. Okay? So the Rambam says, the Rambam is in Hilchos Deis, it's Perek Vav Halacha Beis. Okay, so you see, it's a mitzvah. Uvo Sidbok.
Is that
one? Lidovek biyodov. So how is a person medavek with a Talmud Chacham? So the Rambam gives many ways. He does business with a Talmud Chacham. And any type of association, he says. But the primary association, the first association Rambam mentions is to marry the Talmud Chacham's daughter. Interesting thing. Or a person to marry his daughter to a Talmud Chacham. See? That's also Vo Sidbok. See? Rambam mentions this concept is mentioned in another place. It's mentioned in another place also, but it's the negative. Hilchas Isuri Bia, the Rambam says, that if a person lives with a Gentile, see, he lives with a Shiksa. So the Rambam says, actually, there's no Midaraisa, there aren't too many Yisurim. Arthur Rabbanan gave, the Rabbanan made four Yisurim, Najgaz, neither Shifra Gayazina, right. But actually, if it's not done by Farhesia, and if it's not done Derech Ishus, right, so it would seem that there's not too many, or even Derech Ishus, if it's only Malkus. So the Rambam is like this. Avon Zeh. Rambam's in Perek Yud Beis, Milchus Asura Bia, Halacha Zayin. Avon Zeh. Afal Pisha Ein Boi Mises Bezen. Even though there's no Mises Bezen, you see, as soon as this is serious, you think, in other words, it should be deserving of Mises Bezen, but there isn't any Mises Bezen, so you think it's not so serious. Al Yi Kal Beinecha. Shouldn't be light in your eyes, he says. But I'm sorry, that's Halacha. That's Halacha Zayin. Why? He says, She Eliyesh Bo Hefzid She Ein Bechol Harayas Kamoso. There's something here that you don't have in any other case of Arias. Shabbeim in Erva Benohu, Lechol Dover, Bechol Yisrael Nechshev, even a Mamzer, Af Pisha Mamzer, Vabbeim in Akus, Sein a Beno, Shinema Kiyos is Bincho Meacharai. Okay. And the Rambam says, in Halacha Vav, Rambam says like this, what happens, if it's Befasi, so Kanoim can kill him. If it's Betzina, so it's Malkus. So Rambam says, Lo Pogobo Kanoim, Lo Kul Bezden, Hare onsha mafurish b'divrei kabbalah shu b'kareis shenemar. The implication around B only if he lives derech ishus. But anyways, shenemar kichil Yehuda kedesh Hashem asher ohav ubal bas el nechar yikareis Hashem l'isha sheyasena evoina. Okay, so there's a different type of krisus. Holamadat the Rambam says shabal kusis kil neschat nlakom shenemar ubal bas el nechar. Implication over here is even not derech ishus. That there's a nisser. You see? See? So what do you see from this? What do you see from this, Rambam? So you see from this is the opposite of the other way. So what's the pshat? What do you see from this? That the relations, that sexual relations, carry with them a certain, it's not just the physical action, but it carries with them a certain mental attachment. See? Certain mental attachment. It affects a person's relationship to that individual in more ways than just the physical. So that if a person relates himself to a Talmud Chacham, so then it affects him mentally. It's a mitzvah same as a raisa, a sidbar. As it has an effect on his psyche. And on the contrary, the other way, if he lives with a shiksa, bo basel nechar, so it's she's referred to as a basel nechar, see? Which means that it's impossible for him to live with her, and that his psyche shouldn't be affected in its attitude towards Avodah Zarah. So that's what Sarah told Hagar. Ashrecha shezachis Lidovek beguf karosh. And then that this is something that will make a change in you, because naturally you will become closer. Your attitude to your closeness to Hashem will be affected by the physical relationship. Next pasuk is Vayavay al pasuk da Vayavay al Hagavatar, right? Vateraki harasa vatekel givirta beinah. So Avram lived with Hagar and she became pregnant. And then she saw that she became pregnant. So her mistress, Sarah, became light in her eyes. Rashi says, Amra, she said, Hagar said, Sarai zu ain Sisra kagluya. She's not, she really internally is not the way she appears externally. Mara atzma kili tzedekis. She presents herself as if she's a tzedekis. Veina tzedekis. She's not really tzedekis. Shle zochsa leherya and kol hashanam alalu. Because all these years she never became pregnant. Vanina sabati me birishaina. Maybe first time she became a pregnant tugger. That's what she said. Interesting thing, huh? See that God values me more than her. That was the impression that she received. It's an interesting thing.
What?
Hagar, wasn't it with the intention that Hagar should conceive and have a child from Avram? Wasn't that the whole purpose? I mean, didn't Hagar realize that that's the purpose? Right? Actually, it depends on the... But according to Opshatim, it would seem that you have to say that. But that's according to Opshatim, I'd say. Ulai bona mimeno. I mean, the plain pshat is that b'nei al shefchasi, the plain pshat is that... She will have a child. Okay. So, if that's the case, and then Hagar should have realized this right away. Before she was pregnant, she couldn't say anything, because even though she was was taken in order to have a child. But who says she's gonna?
Right, yeah.
Maybe she's not worth it either. She saw that Sarah couldn't, and she could, so then she felt the superiority. And somebody argued that it was justified. Because you see that she knows that Sarah's under the Ashgacha, right? And apparently she's not on the level. Apparently she's not on the level. Yes.
Maybe
I think right away that Sarah's not a tzedekis, obviously, because Sarah didn't have her children. So she's not a tzedekis. What? Number of reasons why. But when she saw that, she maybe requires a greater. Who knows what kind of tzedekes it requires? But when she saw that she was able to succeed, and she knew herself, she didn't consider herself such a tzedekes. So she said that if she can succeed, right? So then Sarah must be inferior to her. Must be that way. I mean, now we see the level. It was a good argument.
Oh, so the argument. What?
It's a good argument. You see that Hagar fell prey to something which is a very powerful emotion in man. You see? And that is a big motivation for a person's religiosity. That a person wants a certain feeling that they have assurance that they are in the living the right way. And that they are chosen. See, the idea of the chosen is also the same type of emotion. You know what I mean? Of course, the concept of Ama Nivcha, the way it appears to an average person, and the way it is in reality, are two different things. See, two different things. Because a person can use it to cater to his egocentricity. Now Hagar's philosophy was that you can deduce from reality how the Ashgacha is, what the design of the Ashgacha is. And she got trapped by the fact that this was particularly in line with an emotion that is very basic in a human being, which is a person's own egocentricity. See? So she made a mistake. That was her mistake. Her whole concept of Yadus was that a person should be able to sense and to feel a certain assurance that they're going along the right path by certain external signs. Be able to read the signs. God is on my side. Things are good. So all these type of emotions. These are basic emotions in man, but has nothing to do with God in terms of reality. Because no individual is capable of understanding the Ashgacha or reading the Ashgacha. We don't say if a person is ill that you see that this person is an evil individual. He's sick. I mean, why is this man suffering from cancer or from some other disease? So it must be he's not good. He's a Rasha. Yeah, there is such an emotion. But Yada says that any person that maintains such an emotion is completely erroneous, false. False and is vicious also. You see, Chesed demands that we have a certain amount of humility. And the humility is that we really don't understand the Zayin Hashgacha. And this person laying on a sickbed could be a greater tzaddik, much greater tzaddik than the person who's walking out in the street. And one has no right to draw any conclusions or any deductions from the way it appears to the human eye that things are being ordered in reality. Because we are far below any possibility of appreciating or understanding the design of the Ashgacha. And this is a more of a superstitious type of philosophy and religion. You know, and many, many religions, of course, cater to this type of superstition. See? Yada says no. It's not so simple for a person to understand the Ashgacha. Just like Zev Meir said, on the contrary. Truth of the matter is why she couldn't conceive was precisely because of the Ashgacha. You see? She conceived later, but there was a reason why. Why God didn't want her at that time to conceive. For her own personal improvement. So it was really precisely because she was under the Ashgacha that she didn't conceive until later. You see? So for a person to feel, have this simplistic feeling of reading the signs of reality is nothing more than basically a superstitious and it's a materialistic type of motivation. And it's egocentric, materialistic, you see. It's a type of, a false type of security which Hagar was operating under. See, Hagar apparently came from the base Paro. She was a daughter of Paro. And Paro did recognize that there's something here. Yeah, this is the correct religion. He told what he sent her there. But he didn't have a totally different concept. He didn't realize that this religion has a totally different concept than another religion. Rashi mentions... Right. That's right. That's true. Rashi says he's impressed by the miracles. That's right. So, Kesheran Nisim Shinasa Lasara, I'm a mutash te biti b'shifcha b'yazev, like v'deya. Right. So the miracles indicated that these people are being... led in by the divine path, you know? That's the way he wants his daughter to be, under the Ashgacha. So it was really tied to the physical situation. See? Physical situation. And she really absorbed that philosophy. She partook of that philosophy. And that's why, the moment she conceived, so immediately she felt her own superiority. That was in line with the philosophy. So that was a mistake. That was a mistake. No human being can really say why things are ordered in a certain way, or the fact that it is ordered in a certain way, then means that this person you could pass judgment on an individual based upon that, because no one knows how the Ashgacha works. Ashgacha is not a simple thing.
You
say also by Shmuel, if a person's on a higher level, things will go better for him. But what that better is, it's not so easily discernible. It doesn't mean what he wants or the way or where he evaluates. Yigavu Shemayim Me'aretz. It's a totally different type of understanding. So there's no, you can't equate the two. That's the thing with Hagar. Yeah. Be Rishonim means because it really was Ashgacha. That's what it was. Because ordinarily the Gemara says Be Rishonim, a woman's not Miss Barasali, they Be Rishonim. So you see, it was Ashgacha. That's what Rashi says. The ask in Pasuk K is, why did Sarai blame Avram for the way Hagar acted? For the way Hagar acted, that's number one. Richard asks, why should she be so disturbed about that? After all, she was a great tzaddikus, very great person, humble individual. So why should it bother her that Sarai feels so elated? So what? I mean, Hagar feels so elated.
What's it?
Pasuk would be that Avram acquiesced to the way Hagar was carrying on. He didn't really object to it. He didn't object to it. What was Sarah's taina? What was Sarah's taina? Let's hear the full measure of Sarah's taina. What was the taina really? Sarah's taina, let's understand what her complaint was, what her complaint consisted of. Her complaint was like this. Then she's pretty angry. She says, Yishpeta Hashem b'ni v'necha. Her complaint was, Lama shilamtem ro tachas teva. Why did I get paid back with evil instead of good? She said like this, look, I took my shifcha, who was of a low status, and I raised her to a higher status. So I gave up of my own position willingly. And then what was the result? The result was that I was because I did that, so I was put down. Right? That's the argument. That's the argument. She was demeaned for something which she forwent her own status, her own position, right? And because of that, so what happened was that she was turned out because she forgoes her own covet, so she was further demeaned. You're further humiliated, right? That's basically the argument. Take a look at the pasuk. Anochi nesati shivchasi b'chekecha, which means I'm the one that placed her there initially. So it means to say that I was willing to overlook my own pride, my own position, right? Then vateriki rasveiko b'ne'ah, and then because of that she says that she's superior to me. That's the argument basically. Okay. Yishpeta Hashem b'ni v'ne'cha. The Tanya was going. It wasn't injustice, you know. But why should she care?
Obviously, she felt
scared. The question really is, should a person, if they see an injustice is being done to them, should they keep quiet and tolerate the injustice? You say, or should they complain? Right? What do you see from the Torah? You see that a person should say something. Because it says, So you could say, however, that's only if it bothers you. If it doesn't bother you, say you shouldn't say anything. Right? Yeah, well, we'll soon see. Pasuk says, Perek Yitches Lachis Ha'am. Pasuk says, But Hashem Oma HaMachasa Ani Me'Avram Asher Ani Yaisa. This was when God was going to destroy the five cities. Right? Sodom and Amorah. Okay? V'Avram, so God said, Am I concealing from Avram what I am about to do? Then it talks, Avram ha'yilagaygadol v'otzum. He's going to be a great nation. Ki yedatev l'man ha'sheyetzav es bonav es beisach v'shem adechad Hashem l'asot tzedakol mishpat. L'man havi Hashem al Avram es shedibro alav. So the Pasuk says, why did God really disclose to Avram about the fact that he was going to destroy the five cities? Pasuk says, because Avram was going to be a great individual. He was going to command his children and his household after him to keep the way of God, to do tzedakah and mishpat. You see? So what's that got to do with it? So what? So you take a look. When Avram asked God, so he says, Chalila lecha ma'aseis kol zoi. Ma'aseis kadavar zeh lahamas tzadik im rasha v'ayach tzadik ka rasha. Chalila lecha shefei kol aretz le'yasa mishpat. Is it possible that the one that judges the entire world shouldn't do justice? So you see, so God wanted Avram to be involved in the decision of whether Saddam and Amorah and Admon Tzvayim should be destroyed. Right? Because he was a man of justice. So God wanted to see what his decision would be, what conclusions he would arrive at with regard to the justice of that situation. Is it just or not? Right? So now, any flaw in Avraham, insofar as he is an individual that dispenses justice, would be a flaw not only in Avraham, but a flaw in Beso Acharov, like the Pasuk says. Laman Sheitzav is born with Beso Acharov, Veshomer Derech Hashem Lasos Dako Mishpat. Laman Havi Hashem Al Avraham Esa Shadibar Lov. In order for God to make true that whatever he promised Avram, so it would be necessary for Avram to be an individual that is has knowledge of justice and that acts meters out justice, acts accordingly, acts justly. You see? So now the question is, was Sarai right in complaining about the injustice? The answer is absolutely. Because if Avram Avinu is not going to deal justly with the people that are in his charge, so then it's a flaw in the whole Masorah from Avram Avinu on. You know what I mean? So Hagar was under Avram. So really, he should have seen to it that she was reprimanded, she was corrected. But Avram Avinu didn't do it. And Sarai says, that was wrong. Where's your sense of justice? How could you possibly explain the situation? You're supposed to be a man of justice. Here I, as an individual, go out of my way to overcome and to forego my own pride, and you're going to tell me that such a person, his just reward should be that they should suffer abuse? That's your concept of justice? Yishpat Hashem b'nei v'necha. So she reprimanded Avram, and she was right. Because since he didn't act according to justice, he deserved to be reprimanded. See, that's why Sarah complained. Okay, how could you tolerate such an injustice? Okay. Moreover, he should have corrected Hagar. Should have corrected her. How do you allow a person to walk around with such a false notion that you know is incorrect? I mean, you're the founder of the whole philosophy of Yadus, and you know this is a false idea. How do you allow a person to walk around with such a false idea and cater to her own egocentricity? What about her? It's wrong. It would seem to indicate that she personally, Chamosi Alecha, would seem to indicate that she was personally affected by it. She was personally affected by it. But she was definitely correct in doing what she did. There's no question about it. Look at the Targum Unculus. It's Chamasi Alecha doesn't mean my anger, according to Targum Unculus. Chamasi Alecha is Amara Sarai Lavram Dinli Alach. See, Dinli Alach. Yes. You see, Dinli Alach. Dinli Alach means that I have a tain against you. It's Din. I have something, Din means that I have a tain against you. So it doesn't necessarily, so it doesn't mean really that that she's angry. It's dimly Allah. According to Targum Unculus, was an objective thing. Was an objective thing. Huh? Says ubani. Ubani means my personal embarrassment. See? And what Yishami says both? Dini v ubani. Both. Okay. Yeah. It boils down to what the word chamasi means. Targum Unculus translates din, then it's an objective thing. Then the answer that we gave is good. You see? How did a person is subject to a feeling of being abused, right? Abuse, humiliated. Now, insofar as a person is subject to that feeling, you see, a person shouldn't be happy, look for punishments. I mean, be a glutton for punishment. She suffered the humility. I mean, so if it was just, fine, just accept it. But if it's unjust, why should she have to accept it? I mean, why should she? Why should she accept it? I mean, if it's something that would destroy her, then I'd say it's wrong. And it shows you a weakness of character. But there is an element of a person being humiliated. There is such a factor. Now, if it's unjust, why should a person suffer an unjust abuse? Why? Even if it's a discomfort, why should they suffer it? The Torah doesn't demand that we should bring upon ourselves punishments. On the contrary, we're supposed to make life such that it's very pleasant. Life should be pleasant.
What?
Fine. So you can't ask a question and say, why should it bother her? What do you mean, why should it bother her? It's something that's disturbing, psychologically disturbing. Why should I tolerate a psychologically disturbing situation needlessly? If I'm not mechuyev to do it? We don't believe that there's a benefit in suffering. We think that a person should try to seek the most pleasant life that they can. So she was just in complaining. There's nothing wrong with it.
What about, like,
Hanel? Means a person who's embarrassed and doesn't react, doesn't respond. That's talking about a situation where he was embarrassed, so the average person started fighting back. So he recognizes the reality that situation. He's willing to accept it. He doesn't have an emotional reaction to it. But here we're talking about an ongoing situation. We're not talking about Hanel and Van Oven. Doesn't mean a person who puts himself in a position to get abused, get humiliated. That's, I'm crazy.
Okay.
Have an infantile reaction to the situation. That's really a Christian ethic. Yadis does not offer that. That's turn the other cheek. That's a Christian ethic. That a person suffers abuse should be happy to suffer more abuse. It's an ethic which would be very good if they practiced it, but rationally it doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Well, yeah, we should encourage them to do it, but it doesn't, for us it's a... Philosophy is based on the virtue of suffering, which is basically a Christian idea. Yadis doesn't maintain that. Yadis maintains that we should really try to search out for ourselves in the best, most comfortable situation. The person doesn't have to look for onshim. So she was right in removing a situation where she was humiliated. Why shouldn't she remove it? Interpretation of the word Hamasi really define what her argument is. If you say din, so that means that was the main brunt of her argument was in terms of the justice. It was really a more noble type of an argument, if you learn like the Targum Onkelos lines. But if you learn the other way, she didn't want to suffer any personal humiliation. She's thus justified in doing that too. That's part of the philosophy of Yadis. A person should try to avoid suffering humiliation. See? It's machlokes. And the third, the Yerushalmi, says, no, it's both. Both. That makes a lot of sense. But why shouldn't it be both? Okay. Vayomer Avram el Sarai, hinei shivchosech biyadech, asila tov beinoyech. Vataneh Sarai vativrach miponeh. That Hagar became very arrogant, and she assumed a high position. And you complained to me that how do I let such an injustice go on? So Avram said, "Here is your maidservant. Do whatever you want." So Sarai tormented her, and she ran away. Did Avram give? I mean, the question was, how did he allow such an injustice to take place, right? So what's the answer? Okay, take him and do whatever you want.
Well,
Avram is saying that you can't have any complaints to me because I never raised her from the level of shivcha. I always considered her your shivcha. So she's in your jurisdiction. All right. Say upshot. Barbara Nelson says upshot. Four Nelson seems to say upshot. Makes sense. Okay. And it says so. What did so? Yeah. So there was a misunderstanding, in other words. What was caused the misunderstanding? Because Sarai really took her shifcha and raised her to the level of an isha. Why? Because she was trying to overcome her own problem. You see? But due to the fact that, so there was a subjective, there was something subjective involved in her taking Hagar, raising her to the high position of Avram's wife. Now, what happened was that she looked at that, that was a subjective motivation, really, to raise her to the level of a wife. But because she was doing that, she lost sight of how Avram viewed it. See, Avram apparently didn't view it that way. He viewed it realistically. You see, she was, the reason why she misunderstood, there was a misunderstanding. The misunderstanding was because she was operating from her own framework. And her framework was to raise Hagar to the highest level, right? So therefore she assumed that that was the reality of the situation for Avram. But Avram really wasn't involved in this. This was her own thing. Avram wasn't involved in that. And objectively, he was looking at it objectively. Objectively, he never viewed her as anything more than a shifcha. Okay. All right, good, fine. Then it says, okay, so next says, Vata'aneha Sarai, Vatevach Mipaneha. So Sarai tormented her. And then she fled. Okay. Now, what is Vata'aneha Sarai?
Yeah.
Say what exactly the torment was. Rashi says, what does Rashi say? Mishabedes Labakushi. I say Mishabedes Labakushi. She made her work very hard. Okay? There are other pshatim that are given in the Yalkut Shimoni. One pshat is that she made her do subservient type of work. Like menial. Yeah, like carrying water, you know? The nature of the work. It wasn't the quantity of the work. Rashi seems to say that she made her work very hard. Okay. Yeah. That she made her do menial work, so then menial labor. So then it means that she was attempting to counteract the haughtiness that Hagar assumed, right? Okay, that's good. What does it mean if you say according to Rashi, Aisam Hashabedes Babakushi? The menial labor makes sense because she was haughty, so she wanted to break that emotion. So she put her in a situation where her whole cheshbon was that she was better, and that she was somehow or other on a higher plane, and from now on her existence is going to follow a different course. You see, so causing her to do demeaning labor showed that it's not true, that her plight in life hasn't changed, right? Sfuno, yes, Sfuno says something. He says, "Vatanei Sar Kadesha Takir Shehim Mishubedes." That the purpose was, Forna says the purpose was in order that she shouldn't be disparaging towards Sarai anymore. You see? That's what Forna says. Okay, that was the purpose. Forna says, so it wasn't really a vindictiveness on the part of Sarai. But Sarai really wanted to show her that her estimation, her idea was wrong. Especially if you learn that it means it was demeaning labor. It wasn't hard labor, it was demeaning labor. And demeaning labor means that it's something where demeaning is because of a person's psychological outlook. I mean, there's nothing essentially wrong with it. You know what I mean? There's nothing essentially wrong with it. But it's because of the way you look at it. It's not hard work, it depends how you look at it. So she tried to break her emotion of haughtiness. That's good. The only thing is, Rashi is Mishabedes Babakushi. Made her work very hard. I mean, what is it? Wrong. He says, Chata imenu beinu ze, v'gam Avraham beinicho lasos kein, v'shama Hashem el onyo, v'nosim lo shehe pera odam, lano zer Avraham v'sora, b'chol mine inu inu. Interesting thing, interesting shot in Ramban.
Avraham is the one who used all in Sora's
hands. Yeah. Yeah, guy. Says, that the Rambam says that the klolos in the Torah, that the Torah says, if you don't listen to the ways of the Torah, so then all these terrible things will happen to you. You'll serve your enemies, and etc. Right? So the Rambam says, what is the what does it mean? What are the klolos? So Rambam says that the klolos is not really the servitude, because work isn't a curse, but the curse is that the person is not free to engage, involve themselves in a higher type of pursuit and activity. He says that's the curse of the Torah. So the Torah says what God tells the Jews is that if you are after, if you're involved in a higher form of pursuit, pursuit of knowledge, chokhmah, so then I will arrange this, the physical, so that you'll be able to continue to involve yourself in that. However, if you involve yourself in the physical, so then I will not permit you to have the leisure, right, the time to be able to involve yourself in the higher pursuit. The curse is that you don't have the ability to involve yourself in the higher pursuit. That's what the Rambam says. You see? So, really, God to Yetzias Mitzrayim. I think one time I mentioned that. Why was it that the nation of slaves becomes, suddenly can accept the Torah? You know? Tremendous transition, right? So we said that a person who is at a low status physically is many times more subject to accepting rational ideas, because they're not involved and they don't have the satisfaction from the material. So they're in a better position. They're in a better position to accept something, the higher, to listen. They're in a better position to listen to a better way of life. That's right. Because you don't have to break their attachment to the physical. So you don't have to break their attachment to the physical, because they're broken already. As a matter of fact, there's a chazal that corroborates that. Chazal say, Hizaru ba'aniyim, shemehem teitzei Torah. So chazal say, be careful of the poor people, because Torah will emerge from them. So chazal say, from the poor people. Of course, it's not a rule, universal rule. And many Chazal were extremely wealthy. I mean, we know from stories in the Chazal, and Chazal held that wealth is a good. How do you know Chazal held that wealth is a good? Because the Gemara says in the end of Ma'at Katan that one of the Amorayim said, "I asked for two things or three things. I forget exactly how it is." But he asked for one of the other Amorayim's wealth, and he asked for another person's humility, anivus. So he said that God gave me the wealth, his wealth, but the anivus of Rav Chisda, I think, I forget what it was, I wasn't able to get. I wasn't zochato. You see? So, what? End of Ma'at Katan. And I don't remember exactly how it went. But you see that they held wealth as good, because if a person is not for its own sake, of course, but it certainly is a blessing, is Birkas Hashem, there's no question about it, if the person is capable of using it properly. But you notice he has two things, the wealth and the anivus. He has for humility and the wealth, because the wealth itself they didn't recognize as an essential value.
Yeah.
It's very bad, right? But but essentially we don't hold it wealth. On the contrary, all the brachas is wealth. Wealth is a big bracha. If the human being's soul is in order, so it's a very good thing. See, however, nevertheless, the Gemara says you should be careful with the poor, because from them Torah will come forth. Why? Because what it means is that many times a poor individual who is not involved in taivas olam hazeh, you see, is more conducive to accepting and listening to another way of life, because he doesn't have that attachment. He doesn't have that attachment.
Result. It's just a setup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. So according to Rashi, how would you explain Sarah's actions? Felt that the reason why Hagar suddenly became so arrogant was because her status was changed from that of a shifcha to the wife of Avram. Wife of Avram means she has access to all Avram's fortunes. Avram was very wealthy, status, and therefore she got involved in the emotional world of Taiva, and that was responsible for her downfall. So therefore, she felt that the way she could correct her is through shibud. Through shibud, just like in the klolos. You see the same ideas and the same concept in the klolos. That's what she felt, to break her attachment. She felt that that had to, the taiva had to do with the with her haughtiness, this change of status. Okay.
So
Rashi, the Bereishis Rabba that he quotes in between the other medrash, it says that she gave her demeaning labor. You see? So according to Machlekes, according to the medrash that I quoted from the Alka Chimoni, that it was demeaning labor. So apparently Sara felt that she had this intrinsic characteristic that Sara didn't recognize to begin with. You see, Sara didn't recognize it. She had this intrinsic characteristic of her haughtiness, and as soon as it was able to express itself, so it did. So therefore, Sara thought that the best remedy would be to give her demeaning labor, put her in a situation where she has to break that emotion. But according to Rashi's pshat, and no, it had to do with the fact that she achieved a certain materialistic success that was responsible for her downfall. Rashi was the materialistic success that affected her. No doubt that's true. You see that a person, oftentimes, if they achieve materialistic success, they become very haughty. You know, they consider themselves wise in all matters. You see. And Pasuk says, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. You know? So it's true. A person that lends materialistic success lends to a certain haughtiness. Like I says, which one was the cause? Without going into the psychology, but that's not Machlekes, which one was the cause? Why did Rashi choose the indirect approach? Though the more direct approach is the matter that I quoted, you know? Why did Rashi choose the indirect approach? Because there's one thing you have to say if you're going to say the direct approach. You're going to have to say that Sarah miscalculated in her evaluation of Hagar. You see? If you say that she had that trend, essentially, that means, but the only thing was brought out later, so that means that Sarah miscalculated when she evaluated her. However, according to Rashi, it wasn't a miscalculation. Sarah's calculation and assessment of her personality was right. The only thing is that when she was put in a different situation, then she changed. The situation was responsible for the change. That's why Rashi chooses that shot over the other shot. But the situation was responsible for the change. Her assessment was very good. You can evaluate a person in a given situation. Situation changes. They're affected by something new. So then the external situation is going to draw out different parts of the personality that weren't there before. But if you say that she had that essentially was haughtiness, so then you're going to have to say that there was a miscalculation. She didn't evaluate properly Hagar's personality.
What?
It'd be a greater miscalculation of the personality if it was a direct thing of haughtiness. Because that would mean that she had a character trait of haughtiness, essentially was there, potential was there, then when you put her in this situation, so naturally it brought it out. But however, if you say it was an indirect thing, the haughtiness was brought out via the materialism, that already shows that the haughtiness was not so essential. You know what I mean? It's the difference. The difference in the evaluation. You know what I mean? Okay, that's basically the machlekes. The machlekes boils down to whether it was the materialism that affected her, which Rashi maintains, or whether it was the position that affected her, which is what the other medrash maintains. The remedy for either situation, what the remedy was, depends upon how you evaluate what went wrong with Hagar, or how Sara evaluated what went wrong with Hagar. That's the machlekes. Okay? However, according to this, she had very good purposes, very good intentions, and her ideas were good. Sara's, right? And not only Sara, you have to realize the Ramban points a finger to Avram also. Which further supports what we have been saying. In other words, it's not just an irrational vengeance on the part of Sarah, because that certainly Avram wouldn't tolerate. And as a man was the Amar Chesed, you know, he tolerates such a thing. So apparently he understood it the same way as Sarah, that this is something which is beneficial for her. Nevertheless, the Ramban says that chata imeno, that it was a sin. or the sin. I mean, I don't know if everybody really agrees with the Ramban. What? Who says? Barbanel argues on the Ramban. He says that it wasn't a mistake. They did the right thing. All right. Ramban get his idea from that they were wrong? Because he says, because the Malach, Malach says that, implies that God heard, listened to your torment, which means that you were tormented unjustly. See? So it's a machlokes, actually, whether they were wrong in doing this or whether they were right. What would you say? Wrong or right? I mean, that Gerdy raised. Question is, what right do you have? No right to torment a person in order to perfect them. I mean, a human being has no right to pass such judgment. Only God could do that. You see? And that's true. I mean, you have no right, a person has no right to do that. That's the story of Panina and the story with Yosef because of the Chalimus. He only had a right because of the Nevuah. Otherwise, he would never have any right to do it. True. But I would say like this. Mine is like this. When it says that, for instance, according to the Medrash that says that, what did she do? She asked her to carry water, right? Now the truth of the matter is that a status of a shifcha is that that's really a job. I mean, you have a right to do that. See. So, or Meshabedes Babakushi, even. So you make her work hard. But that's really her job. So actually, over here, the Inui wasn't something which was done wrongfully. If a person has money, like the case was mentioned, if a person has money, and you see the money is harming them, you have no right to go and take away the money. I mean, that's not a human judgment. That's God's judgment. Right? But what if you're in a situation where you have certain rights to begin with. Let's say, for instance, you have a worker whose job it is to do menial labor. I mean, somebody has to do it. That's his job. Now you raise him to a higher status, a higher level. Do you have a right to put him down again and return him to his original job? I mean, that was the agreement. That was the situation the person had with you initially. See? Mm-hmm. So yes, you have a right to do that. So the truth of the matter is that what Avram and Sarah did wasn't something which was out of the realm of justice, because that was the arrangement, that was the agreement when she left Beis Paro, and she went to become a shifcha. Avram said, "Look, you want to live here, or you can live here as a shifcha." So she accepted shifchas. Shifchas is menial labor. Shifchas is hard labor sometimes. So the truth of the matter is that what happened was, what Avram and Sarah did was, they merely returned her to the lowest rank of her profession. Whereas before they didn't, apparently, before they didn't treat her like a regular shifcha. Because, I mean, to carry water, that's a job. So before, they treated her in a better way, more than the situation warranted. See, so now they returned it to her initial position.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so really there was nothing wrong with it. That answers Gertie's question. The only question is, they still have the machlekes, whether or not it was proper for them to do it.
Well, you can ask another question.
That means what Tivrach Miponeo. Tivrach means, look, the agreement was that if she wants to stay, she wants to stay in the... She was a bas para. She could have gone back. She had places to go. The thing is that she wanted to live with him. So they said, okay, these are the terms. Fine. So she accepted the terms. Then when they put her down to the lowest rank, so she ran away. She decided she doesn't want to stay in those conditions. All right, fine. It's her decision. Nobody was forcing her. This wasn't a question of oppression. It was her own free will. She decided she wants to join the base of Rome. They said, oh, now you want to join us. Now these are the terms. All right, before we didn't insist on these terms. Now we do. So she said no. So she left. Fine. The Vativrach Miponeha indicates that there wasn't The truth of the matter is that they had a right to do it. Technically, they had a right to do it because that was the arrangement, that was the agreement. If she doesn't want to be a shifkol, let her leave. Nobody was holding, nobody was forcing her. I mean, nobody was captive in the base of Rome. Avram didn't have any captives, so she wanted to stay there. It's amazing. Fine, she wants to leave, she can leave. Okay, but the point is, so if you say that they did the right thing, it's understandable. If you say that they didn't do the right thing, then I would say that you're right. The general consensus of opinion is right. That what it means is that they really didn't look into the situation to see which would be most beneficial for her, to improve her. See, they really didn't look into it properly. And they didn't look into it properly. And you see from the ill effects of the treatment that they prescribed. Because Tivrach Miponeah, indication was that she couldn't tolerate such a thing. So it really wasn't thought into properly. And why wasn't it? Because Avram, what do you call it? See, Avram really, the mistake was, the Sarah, it seems, was personally involved to some degree. And apparently that emotion that she was involved with prevented her from thinking clearly of Hagar as an objective individual. See, the frame of mind that a person has to have if they want to help somebody is of total objectivity. That this individual, no matter what the individual did to you, if you don't have the total objectivity, then you can't possibly help them. You have to be able to look into their nature objectively. That's why I say any Rebbe that feels a hatred or a sinner towards a Talmud can never be a good Rebbe. It's impossible because he's personally involved. See, the way that a teacher should be towards a Talmud is a state of total objectivity. No matter what the Talmud does, even the Talmud embarrasses him or acts up in class or fresh, whatever it is. You're teaching in class, you have kids. So if a child can antagonize you, you see, then you're not deserving to be a Rebbe, because that means that he's been able to affect you emotionally. Affect you emotionally, you're not going to be able to think objectively. The only way that a Rebbe should be able to think about a Talmud is on a total objective plane. Here is a youngster that needs help. How can I help him in the best possible way, no matter what happens personally? See, that's the real level that a person has to be in order to improve people. He has to function that way. Now, it would seem that what happened here was that Sarah wasn't able to totally extricate herself from the personal, and therefore the treatment that she prescribed was not beneficial. You see, that's what it seemed from the apostle. That's going to the Ramban. And what was that? Was Sarah's mistake? What was Avram's mistake? Avram's mistake was that he left it in the hands of Sarah. That was his mistake. So he shouldn't have trusted her. He should have realized that since she's involved, maybe she won't really do the best thing. You see, and that was that's why the Ramban says they both did wrong. Imenu beinu yazeh v'gam Avraham behanicho. Should be Banicho. No, Banicho. I said Banicho Lasos Kane. Banicho so Lasos Kane. Okay. That's what the Ramban says. Two separate chatoyim. Her sin was at the misevaluation because she couldn't extricate herself totally from the situation. She couldn't be objective. And Avram's was that he gave it over to her.
What?
The reason why Avram did it was because he wanted to avoid he wanted to swash Sarah. Because when she came with that tremendous complaint, it affected him. He said, right. And that was his mistake.
That was Rashi.
Really, from the psukim that the Ramban is right. That there was something wrong there. But Tivrach me po now, you know? And so, yeah.
That's
a strong reaction.
God heard you all.
Mila Zora, ki amishpat kemova yisno era. He means to say that it shouldn't have said vayimtso'o. It should have said vayimtso'eha. You see? So why does it say vayimtso'o, mila zara? So the pshat is like this. The implication of vayimtso'eha would be that he searched for her and he found her. That's vayimtso'eha. See? Vayimtso'eha. He found her. A malach doesn't, you can't say by a malach that he searched her out and he found her. Vayimtsoa means he happened upon her. The malach doesn't search around to look for her and find her. It means that He came to the same, to the place where she was. So that's why it says Vayimtzor. The Emek Dava says I've shot in the Eben Ezra. Nice shot. Okay. Similar shot. By Midbar is a geographical situation. In other words, the way she was, the location in terms of her immediate geographic surroundings, which was the Midbar, and she was by the Ayin, by the Ayin. Then Al Ayin Bederach Shur. That's where she was located in terms of the roads that were that existed then. So it was by the Ayin, by the Derech Shur. Okay.
What does that mean? She was born there?
I broke it up into two different parts. Okay? It means it like this. That the Malach Esther, Eimi Zevos, where are you coming from? Va'ona Selechi. And what is your goal? In other words, a person ordinarily has two points in life. There's a point from where they come, they pass the past, so the immediate past, and then for some reason they're not satisfied with the past, so they want to improve upon it. So they have a goal for the future, where they want to go, what their objective is. In other words, an ordinary person will ask him, you say, what is your what are you doing now? So he'll say, look, I'm in this situation now, and I want to get out of the situation. I have another goal, another situation in mind that is superior to my present situation. That's the way an old person. That's the way an old person finds himself in such a situation, right? Person's in the yeshiva. He's learning, so it's very difficult to learn. So he figures he's lining up some jobs. His goal is to make a lot of money. Get away from the pain of learning. That's Amy Zevos Va'ona Selechi. So what did she answer? Vatomer Mipnei Sarai Gevirti Anechi Barachas. What does it mean, Mipnei Sarai Gevirti Anechi Barachas? Exactly. That's right. She answered him just right. She said, I have no plans. I'm just leaving a bad situation. That's what I that's what my destination is. But I do not anticipate any future goals. That's what she said. Okay? Somebody raised the point as to why it says Hagar and Shifchasarai. So Gerda was wondering why both terms? Yeah. The thing is like this: that really Hagar was a, Rashi says before that Hagar was a Bas Paro. She was really a Bas Melech. Right? But the only thing is that she willingly accepted the shifchus of Avram and Sarah. Right? So actually the shifchus wasn't just a shifcha. She placed herself in a situation of shifcha. But she herself was really a bas melech. See? So really Hagar was two identities. She was Hagar, you know. She was an individual, a Bas Melech. And then she was Shifcha Sarai. Shifcha Sarai was a situation that she placed herself into. He says, when the Malach addressed her, he addressed her in two frameworks. You understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the pshat. Because that has to do with Amy Zevos, Vona Selechi. In other words, in what framework are you operating? Are you operating in the framework of Shifcha Sarai, or are you operating in the framework of Hagar? Amy Zevos Vana Telechi. Two identities. It says Vayomel Amalach Hashem three times. It would seem to indicate that each one of these three ideas are separate, independent of each other. So the first one is Shuvil Gvirtech. You're making a mistake. It's true there's Inui there. In the base of Ram and Sarah, is in you through Sarah, but you're better off in the year, better off there. That's number one. That's the best situation. Right? Hisani tachas yadea. Suffer by her hands, but you still gain more there. That seems to be the first advice. Okay, the second one is Habar Bezarech, separate thing altogether. Lo Yisafim Merov. You'll be the progenitor of a great nation. Right? That's the second, that's the second idea. And actually, that was her thought when she lived with Avram. Right? She really wanted to be the mother of a great nation. Right? As a matter of fact, she got so excited about it, she said that, you see that I'm better than Sarah. Right? So, this, the Malach said, is true. That's true. You will be the mother of a great nation. And the third... The third thing the Malach said, that you're going to have a son Yishmael. The son Yishmael is a separate thing altogether. It means even if she wouldn't be the mother of a great nation, but she's going to have a son, there's something special about him. The Karas Shema Yishmael. Kishoma Hashem al Anyech. So there's something special about Yishmael. Okay. Shada's the first bit of advice was that even though it's really bad, she's really mistreating you, but still, you should go back there because of the fact that that's the best thing for you to do. For your perfection is in the base of Ram. Now, the question is, so what does it mean, Kishoma Hashem al Anyech? What does it mean, Kishoma Hashem al Anyech? So it means that because of the schus that you are suffering in order to perfect yourself, and you're remaining the base of Ram because you know that that's the right thing to do, that's why you'll have a son, Yishmael. Do you know what I mean? That's the pshat Kishoma Hashem al Anyech. Kishoma Hashem al Anyech means that God listened to your inoy that you imposed upon yourself, you see, in order to perfect yourself. And therefore, he's going to give you a son Yishmael. That's why she had to go back. The question we asked was, why does she have to go back? The answer is that she was only able to get Yishmael if she would be on a level where she'd be able to suffer the inui in order to gain the perfection. See? Let's say something else. The middle dibur was Haba Arba Azarech Vele Yisafim Merov. That seems to be some kind of a bracha. Right? What kind of a bracha is that actually? So what if she has a lot of children? So what? So what if she's the mother of a great nation? Vele Yisafim Merov. So what? Tell me. That's not such a great thing. But for her it was a great thing. Right? Not true, because you see, God told the same thing to Avram. Bracious Yitzayin, Pasuk Chaf, Ul Yishmol Shmaticha, Hinei Berachti Yisoy, Vifresi Yoso, Vibesi Yoso, Bemod Maod, Shnei Masa Nasiyim Yelid, Unasati Lugai Godel. What's the benefit? To have a bunch of Yishmaelim running around. Shane Amos and Nasim. So the word Nasim also means like a cloud. So he says they'll vanish like clouds. I mean, what kind of that's supposed to make him very happy? Will vanish. The Torah respects size, numbers, power. I mean, all these things. You know, a great nation. The same thing also in Bereshis Chafei Pasuk Chaf Gimel. And it says, "Vayisraitzo banam bekirba v'temer kein lamazan eich v'tel v'liver sod Hashem v'yem ad Hashem la shnei goyim v'vitneich v'shnei l'umim mimeayich yiparedu v'lom v'lom yemotz rav yavotzoyer." So, can you tell us? You see, also there's something, the fact that a shnei goyim, otherwise why would God have to mention this Shnei Goyim? I mean, what's this? Apparently, the fact that it's a nation is something, right? The Alufim, Alufes, or the gracious Velatolus Esav Uedoim, and the whole idea, even the Yerushas Esav, Esav Nasati Esar Seir, Lareshus Esav. The Yaakov one of Yehuda Mitzrayim. It's pasuk in what do you call it? In Yeshua, right? So you see that there's something over here, something here. You know what I mean? Chagiga of Beis Amaralef. Mi shechetzio Eved vechetzio Ben Charen. Person is half, he's half Eved and half Ben Charen. How is that possible? You have two people that own a slave, an Eved, Knani, and one Beshutvis, and one of them frees him. He frees his chelik. So now he's half and half. Right? So the Gemara says, Ovid is Rabbi Yom Echad v'Satzma Yom Echad. So he works for himself one day. He works for his Adon one day. Kantem is Rabbo. So the master is very satisfied because he got what he deserves, right? But v'Satzma lo tikantem. But he himself, he didn't help. Why? Because Lisa Shifchayne Yachal. He can't marry a Shifcha. Why? Because part of him is considered a Yisrael. So Yisrael is also a Shifcha. Right? And Baschayrin and Yachal. And he can't, what? He's half Evan, so he can't marry Baschayrin. Livatel. Let him not do anything. Valolo nivra olo melalifri verivya. Shenema lo so barola shevisitzara. Right? So you see an interesting thing. That, the Gemara says that this Eved, has to be involved in Piriviya. Gemara doesn't speak in terms of the mitzvah. In terms of the mitzvah. Because the Gemara says levatel. Right. The Gemara doesn't speak in terms of the mitzvah. Levatel. And he can't do it. He's an anus. So he's pater from the mitzvah. Right? That seems to be the implication here.
Right.
And leisei abarah. But at any rate, you see the Gemara says, levatel eini yachal. Because le nivra ha'olam ela bishvil piri v'rivya. And Taisha says, hayasei alam tfei mi piri v'ru. What does it mean? Why can I make Megillah Perek Basra? Meichor Adam Sefer Torah Lisa Yishuv Lo Matera. Ma'isi Leteo Bro. So you see, it's not just a Ma'isa Mitzvah and Asay, but it's a Kiyum in the Ratzon Abare. So how it's a Kiyum in Ratzon Abare in God's will. It's Leteo Bro La Shevis Itzara. Right? You see, separate thing. The whole purpose of the world is that the world should be populated. Tikkun Olam. That's what Gemara says. Only Tikkun Olam, Kofanis Rabba. Right, Kofanis Rabba also says Ben Charan. The Kofanis Lev Shtar, Chatzi Damav. The Chazir Beisil, Laharis Gizir Beishamai. Right, Tikkun Olam. Okay? So, you see from there isn't really a small thing. Why? Because that's Leitayu Barola Shevis Yitzara. It's a Kiyum and Shevis. Kiyum and Shevis. And that's the whole purpose of the world. The world should be populated. So actually, Hagar, Hagar had a part in Kiyum Olam, in Tikkun Olam. Played a big role in Tikkun Olam. And the same thing with Rivka. Also, the same thing. That Shnei Goyim Bevitnech, Ushnei Le'umim Me'ayach Yiparedo. So, it wasn't just, and then by Avram, Shnei Masanasim Yolam, Nesatav L'Gai Gadol. Nesatav L'Gai Gadol means that you are responsible for Kiyum Olam. The Kiyum Olam. Tikkun Olam. Matter, even if the people aren't, even if the people are not tzaddikim, even though they're not tzaddikim, that's why the Pasuk says, Hinei berachti yoso, v'freisi yoso, mod mod, shnei masi nesim yolo, v'sadol gagadol. But v'es brisi, akames yitzchak. But that's a separate thing. The bris of Rom will only be to Yitzchak. That's brisi yakum es Yitzchak. Asher tel lechasel amar ezev shana acheres. So, insofar as population of the world is concerned, That's Yishmael. That's Yishmael. Yeah, right. That's a bracha too. That's a bracha. That Avram's actions were responsible for Tikkun HaOlam, which is God's will. Loto bro l'shev yitzhar, right? But the Vesbrisi, Akim es Yitzchak, that's only going to be Yitzchak. But Yishmael was also a big bracha. Now Rashi says, Shnei Masa Nesim Yolid. So Shnei Masa, what's Shnei Masa Nesim Yolid? The plain pshat means? It means Tikkun HaOlam, Nesim. It means that not just people that are hefker, don't have any. Tikkun HaOlam means really civilization. That's what Tikkun HaOlam means. See? Tikkun HaOlam is civilization. It doesn't just mean people are living. People living around, each guy's living in a little hut. That's not Tikkun HaOlam. Tikkun HaOlam means establishing civilization for the benefit of mankind. Making a situation which is really conducive for people to live and to create human society. Further human society. That's why it says Shnei Masa Nesim Yolid. It's not just a bunch of people running around. No, not Nesim. Nesim means organization. It means organized society.
Civilization.
That's what that's really part of Tikkun HaOlam. The Chivshua, Puruvu, the Mitzvah Puruvu, Gansayim, Revashamayim, the Chivshua. So the Chivshua is really to subdue nature to the point where man lives in a way, in an organized society, in a way that he doesn't fall prey to powers of the elements. He's not under the influence of the elements. I mean, he has control. He's controlled and organized, and the society is organized. That's really part of the mitzvah of Puruvu. So Shnei Masa Nesim Yolid is a big thing. So Yenasatev L'Gai Gadol. It means that he will establish an organized society. That's a beneficial thing. That's something that's very good. That's a big thing. That's the Ratzon Hashem. L'so Barah L'Shev Yitzhar. See, that's the Gemara Chagiga. That's the pshat. Means in Nesim, Rashi means to say, see, God told Avram what Yishmael is going to do. What was good? To establish a society is a very good thing. It's a very good thing. But he didn't tell him what was going to happen. What was going to happen really to these people? So that Rashi says that there's a remez in the word Nesim that they really aren't going. That they're going to vanish eventually. They won't have a real kiyum. But insofar as the Tikkun HaOlam is concerned, that's something else. Tikkun HaOlam, he was responsible for the Tikkun HaOlam. He was responsible for the Tikkun HaOlam. However, the truth of the matter is that what's going to happen, that's their bechira. Their bechira will be such that they're not going to live properly, and they'll be blown away. See? But it doesn't reflect on Avram.
Same thing with Avram.
But to have civilization itself is a good. Is a good. Yeah. This is also a gambler's postulatus, because Eina Isaac be Yeshuva Shalala. Eina Isaac be Yeshuva Shalala. He doesn't, he's a gambler, he plays cards all day, and he makes money, makes a living. But the pshat is that living is not really, doesn't contribute anything to society. It's no good. Okay? It's no good. Person has to be Isaac be Yeshuva Shalala. There's a benefit in civilization per se. That's what you see from this parasha.
That's right.
Yes. Well, is that there should be a civilization. That's his will.
The institution of Melech is given special importance in the Torah. You see, Ve'elah ha-Melechim asher molchu Beretz Edom lefnei Melech Melech lefnei Yisrael. There's a contrast between Malchus Edom, which is the Malchus of Yishuv Ha'olam, and the Malchus Yisrael, which is the Malchus that embodies the true ideas of God.